Okay, good morning. I will try to keep my coughing to a minimum. I want to first thank our sponsor for the class, sponsored by Carol Wald in commemoration of the Yurt site of her beloved brother, Reuven Rafael Ben Binyamin. The learning should be as an aliyah for neshama. I want to thank you very much. If anyone's interested in sponsoring a future class, you're welcome to stop by the office, as we always welcome sponsorships. As promised, today we are beginning what for me is very exciting, and that is Kabbalah Shabbos. We know that Kabbalah Shabbos is comprised of a series of chapters of Tehillim leading up to Lecha Dodi. And I, for myself, personally, never studied them before. And even as I prepared for this class, my hope in my prayer is that as we study these Parakim of Tehillim, it will give new meaning into what it is you and I are supposed to be thinking and feeling as we enter into Shabbos. For those who come to the class regularly know that we spent the last few months, really, studying the majority of the chapters of Tehillim that we read on Shabbos morning. And I'll just share with you personally, it has changed my Shabbos morning. When you understand why we put certain Tehillim where we put them, it's because Chazal wanted to communicate messages to us. And specifically, as you remember from Shabbos morning, you'll remember that each chapter of Tehillim, one after another, kind of repeated itself in a way that led you to realize that Chazal had a very specific theme that they wanted you to understand. And for me personally, that changed my Shabbos morning. And my hope is that as we study Kabbalah Shabbos, so for those who say it in Shul, for those who say it in their houses, or for those who don't yet say it, you'll understand why these chapters of Tehillim were chosen, why we recite them, and most importantly, what we're supposed to have in mind. Don't forget, the chapter we're going to say today, chapter 95, is the first of the chapters of Kabbalah Shabbos. So this is the way that Chazal wanted to lead us as a transitional point from the weekday with all its chaos and insanity into the peaceful serenity of Shabbos. And our job today is to figure out how this chapter of Tehillim accomplishes that through the themes that we're going to develop. The other thing you have to do as a point of introduction for this chapter of Tehillim is picture yourself not in Boker Ton Synagogue, the wonderful Sephardic Beit Midrash, even with its new design, but you have to picture yourself in Tzfat. Go out into a field in Tzfat, right? Some of us were just in Israel, and you have to go out into a field looking over the mountains, and picture yourself there as you're taking in Shabbos, and you're watching the sun go down, and there's a beautiful breeze that's waving over you. And it's in that mindset that you can truly appreciate exactly what it is we're tapping into. Now, we're not so far off from Shabbos. It's Thursday morning. Tomorrow night we'll be saying this chapter of Tehillim. But it is a little difficult in the chaos of the week to put yourself in the mindset to really study this chapter. So we, for our intents and purposes, are not at 7900 Montoya Circle, but we are on some mountain in Yerushalayim. I was in Modi'in last Shabbos, and as you walk up to the shul, you just look out, and it's the most magnificent sight imaginable. So that's where I am emotionally right now, and I hope you'll join me on this journey of understanding the opening chapter of Kabbalah Shabbos, chapter 95. This is one of the chapters that is written by Moshe Rabbeinu, starting all the way back, I believe it was with chapter 90 or 91, and from there until 99, 98, 99, they're all written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And you'll notice immediately that there are two very different themes to this chapter of Tehillim. One is praise. Lechu neranina l'Hashem. You don't even need to wait so long to get the first phrase, the first theme, which is that come and let's sing praise to Hashem. And that makes sense to us. And to be honest with you, that was the extent to my knowledge of this chapter of Tehillim coming into this class, that I assume this chapter of Tehillim is about singing praise to Hashem. And what better way to start off Kabbalah Shabbos than with the words, Lechu neranina l'Hashem, come and let's sing praise to Hashem. But you'll notice that as we go through the chapter of Tehillim, a second very different theme develops, and that is not a theme of praise, but that is the notion that Hashem is not happy with us. And what we have to do is reconcile those two themes. On the one hand, praising Hashem, and on the other hand, an understanding that Hashem is not happy with us all the time, specifically, as we'll see, in our journey in the desert. And ultimately, our goal, whenever there are two different themes in a chapter of Tehillim is to reconcile the two and understand how they don't work in opposition to each other, but that they work in concert with each other to develop something that you and I are supposed to be thinking and feeling as we go into Kabbalah Shabbos. That is our job over the next number of minutes. So, L'chun ranana l'Hashem, Naria L'tzur Yishenu. Come, let us sing songs to Hashem. Naria, again a form of song, L'tzur Yishenu, to the rock who saves us, the rock of our salvation. The Malbim points out, and this should not be a new idea to anyone who's come to this class, but the Malbim, Darko Bakodesh, as he is wont to do, says that this chapter of Tehillim is about two different ways that Hashem interacts with mankind. One is through nature, and the other is a very specific and distinct form of providence that is shown over the Jewish people, that is shown upon the Jewish people. Okay, we know that on the one hand, God is a big God, right? God is the Borei Olam. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. On the other hand, we know that as the Jewish people, we have a very unique relationship with Hashem. Says the Malbim that those two ideas are very apparent already in this opening verse of the Pasuk. Says the Malbim, first, L'chu neranana l'Hashem. Come, let us sing to Hashem. That is indiscriminate. In other words, he says, Mitzadshu Hashem, Borei Olam, Umamsi Kol HaMetzias. That we go and we sing to Hashem, having nothing to do with the fact that we're Jewish people, but solely of the fact that Hashem created the universe. But then he says, Naria is in what form? It's not plural. It's singular. Naria, we as one are going to sing to Hashem. That, says the Malbim, is Shehu Mitzad Hashkacha HaPratit. That's because Hashem has a unique relationship with every single one of us. So L'chu Neranana L'Hashem means that we sing praise to Hashem, says the Malbim, because He created the universe, because we look around as we developed in the chapters that we studied of Psukei Dezimra, one of the things that Shabbos reminds us of is Hashem is the creator of the universe. And as we enter into Shabbos, we remember that. Shabbos is a remembrance to the creation of the world. On the other hand, Naria L'tzur Yishenu, we sing a unique praise to Hashem. Right, so the Malbim points out that every time you see the word trua, it's in Hashem's revealing Himself to the Jewish people. So for example, at Har Sinai, what is blown? A shofar, right? We blow a shofar at Har Sinai. Why? Because Hashem revealed Himself at Har Sinai. When else are we famously going to blow a shofar? When Mashiach comes, right? Why? Because again, that's going to be a moment of revelation. That's why in Shofros on Rosh Hashanah, if you look at the verses, if you look at the psukim that are used, they all come out to revelation. So you have it at Har Sinai, you have it at Mashiach, right? Every time Hashem reveals Himself, it's a point of revelation. And that's what we're reminding ourselves of on Rosh Hashanah, is that Hashem didn't just create the world, He's not just the Melech HaOlam, but there's shofar, there's something called Hashem interacting with mankind. And that's what the Malbim builds upon. Naria L'tzur Yishenu. In other words, Hashem has a unique, distinct, revealed relationship with every single one of us. Okay? And therefore he says, he goes on to develop that idea. Nikadma fanav bitoda, bizmiros naria lo. So what do we approach Hashem with? What causes us to sing praise to Hashem? Nikadma panav bitoda. What is toda?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. And as a result of the gratitude, bizmiros naria lo. Therefore, we're going to sing out to Hashem. That, to me, holds a little bit of the key. Right, if we're putting a puzzle together. So you know when you find like the corner?
Yes.
That's like the jackpot. Because until you find the corners and the edges, you're kind of lost. So Pasuk 2 gives us one of the corners. That somehow there's a relationship between our sense of gratitude to Hashem with the fact that we sing out praise to Hashem. The Malbim says, Shetchila navo betoda vehodal tovosava pratiim elenu. First, we come to Hashem with an overwhelming sense of gratitude for the unique hashkacha, for the unique providence that He gives to us. And as a result, bizmiros naria lo. As a result of that, we sing the praise of Hashem. So somehow we've been introduced to a theme already of gratitude. That gratitude is going to hold the key to our singing praise to Hashem. Okay? We continue, Pasuk Gimel. Ki el gadol Adonai, umelech gadol al kol Elohim. Because God is a big God, and he is a big king over all the other gods. Al kol Elohim. In other words, he's the king over everything. Even if there are other, there are stars and the moon, right? God is above all of them. What word jumps out at you immediately in this pasuk? It appears twice. Gadol. Right? God is big. God is great. Which immediately leads you to think of what we call big God in our class, right? It's the macro, right? Hashem is the creator of the heavens and the universe and the stars and the moon and the sun, right? God is gadol. He's distant from me. There's almost like a sense of an unrelatability to Hashem because he's so big. Is there anything specific to the Jewish people in this pasuk? No, right? The Malbim points out that this pasuk is as universalistic as it comes. That there's nothing specific about Jews. God is gadol. Hashem created everything. Pasuk Dalet. Asher biado mechkerei aretz v'soafos harim lo. He created the land, the mountains. Asher lo hayam v'hu asau. He created all the water. V'yabeshe yadav yatzaru. Again, he created the land. Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk He continues this theme very much. Right? Who is Hashem? Hashem is that macro Hashem. He's the creator of the heavens, in the earth, in the water, in the land, in the mountains. Right? God is the creator of nature. Okay, is there anything yet specific about us, uniquely about the Jewish people? Not yet. Until you come to Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. All of a sudden we say, Bo nishtachave v'nichra'a, come, let us bow down. Again, different forms of bow down. Nivrcha lifnei Adonai osenu. What is Nivrcha? Right? So again, we're going to prostrate ourselves to Hashem. Why? Why? Lifnei Hashem Osenu. He made us. Now this is interesting. Right? God making us is very different than Hashem creating the heavens and the earth. We're now, if you picture like a bubble, we're constricting the bubble. We started off very large, and now we're getting a lot smaller. Because Hashem created us, says the Malbim, right? Lo ba'avor shebara klal hamatzias. We're not just thanking Hashem because he created the klal, which means like the macro, universe, nature, heavens, earth. Rak ba'avor shehu osenu. He made us. Sha'asa osanu la'am. Not just that he created us flesh and blood, but that he made us into his people. She'anachnu nasigo totchila al yedei tovosav amyuchadim. That we have a unique relationship with Hashem. And how do we know we have a unique relationship with Hashem? Because of the miracles that he performed on our behalf. Those are the parshios that we've been reading for the last number of weeks. Shmos, Va'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro, right? This is the parshiot, the Ikari Emuna, the foundations of our belief in Hashem, as someone who has a unique relationship with the Jewish people. So all of a sudden, Pasuk 6, we shift a little bit. From God as big God, Gadol Hashem, Melech Gadol Al Kol Elokim, creating the earth in the mountains, in the rivers. And all of a sudden, no, it's Lifnei Hashem Osenu. We have to remember that Hashem has a very distinct relationship with us, the Jewish people. And that's reaffirmed in the first half of the next Pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Kihu Eloheinu. God is our God. Va'anachnu, in we, am mariso v'tzon yado. What are we to Hashem? We are sheep and he is our shepherd. Right? Those are my personal favorite lines on all the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening. Right? And we sing that song. And we talk about how God is our shepherd and we are a sheep. And there's a pride in that, that Hashem takes care of us. Right? What does the shepherd do to the sheep? He takes care. That's his singular job, so to speak. So all of a sudden, we've gone from a universal God to a very particularistic relationship with Hashem, where Hashem has a unique relationship with us, the Jewish people, and we have a unique relationship with him. He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. That is all stage number one of this chapter of Tehillim. What themes have we developed? We've developed the sense of praising Hashem, L'chu niranina l'Hashem. We've developed that we praise Hashem for two different reasons. One, because he created the world, right, nature, the magnificence of the world around us. But on the other hand, despite that God is a universalistic Hashem, he's also a particularistic, right? He has a unique relationship with us, both as a Jewish people and us as individuals. And how do we see that? We see that through the miracles that he performed for us. If God didn't care about us, so he wouldn't have taken us out of Egypt, and he wouldn't have split a sea, and he wouldn't have performed the 10 plagues, and he wouldn't have given us the Torah. All of that is a reminder to us of Hashem's unique relationship towards us. Okay? So it's what Hashem did for us that's supposed to remind us of how much he means to us and the relationship he has with us. That's all stage number one. Yeah, Lenny. Gigi. Gigi. Can you just give me a chumash, please?
Interspersed. Sometimes it's God himself, who also,
right,
and sometimes it's Yado. And the Yod is sometimes singular, it's sometimes plural. It's both hands.
Right, it could be.
Hand.
Right.
Any
I have not thought of that. I'd have to think about it, but it's a beautiful insight. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sure. I didn't recognize that. Now we shift to, I'd say, the more somber part of this chapter of Tehillim. And it's the second half a Pasuk Zayin. So what did we just say? Ki hu Elokeinu v'anachnu Am Reisov v'tzon Yado. Right, again, we have a unique relationship with Hashem. And then we say something very strange. Hayom im bikolo tishma'o. What does that mean? Today, not we should, but im. If we listen to his words. What in the world is that talking about? What is that doing here? What? It's conditional. What's it predicated on? If you do this, then you get that, right? So the Malbim points out that after we talk about our unique relationship with Hashem, so don't think that we are chosen by Hashem because there's anything special in our DNA, right? That is not why we were chosen by Hashem. You know why we were chosen by Hashem? Because we were deserving of that choice. Right? In other words, the choice, the notion that we are an Am Segula, that we are the chosen people, doesn't mean that we are, again, this is Machlokas in the Meforshim, but according to many Meforshim, it means we're not, our DNA is not better than anyone else's DNA. What it means is that we were chosen with responsibility, right? That Hashem created the universe, and it was largely a failure. Think about the first stories in Tanakh. Adam and Chava, they sin. Cain and Hevel, they sin. The Dor HaMabel, they sin. Right, even Noah, who saves the world, comes out of the Teva, and what happens to him? He sins. So if you start off reading the Torah, you start wondering to yourself, if they couldn't get it right, how can I get it right? Right, and every story is predicated on one emotion, and what is that? It's jealousy, it's all jealousy. Adam and Chav are jealous. Cain and Hevel are jealous. The Dor HaMabul, right, it's that they stole from one. There was a jealousy there, right? So every single story is defined by a sense of jealousy. And all of a sudden, you get the sense that Hashem realizes that mankind alone is not going to be successful. So what does he do? Who's the next character, the next personality to come onto the scene? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu. And with Avram Avinu, Hashem says, you now have a responsibility to the world around you. Right? You have a responsibility. You being chosen, the Bris Bein HaBesarim gave Avram a responsibility to go out and to spread ethical monotheism. Right, when we receive the Torah, it's a mandate to us, it's a mission to us to go out and to live by it and to spread it. Because by doing that, what do we accomplish? We save humanity, so to speak. Because humanity alone without it is Adam and Chava, Cain and Hevel, Noach, right? So chosenness is a responsibility. Says the Malbim, Aval Yichus Hashem, our Yichus, our relationship with Hashem, Vikashuro im amo, in his connection with us, his people, who davar hataloi bibichiratam. It is dependent on the decisions that you and I make. If you and I make right decisions, so Hashem will have a beautiful relationship with us. If we make the wrong decisions, then Hashem will never sever that relationship, but he will definitely distance himself from that relationship. Those who have been coming to this class for years know that when we were learning Nevi'im, this was a theme that came up over and over again, right? When we were learning the Haftorahs, it came up over and over again. Hashem said, all you got to do is get it right. And every time, what did we do? We blew it. We got it wrong, Right? We would have a Beis HaMikdash right now if we could get it right, but we get it wrong. Right? So all of this is dependent on our Bechira. It's dependent on our choice. So that's what the Pasuk says in Zion, Hayom, im bekolo tishmo. In other words, this could all be yours today. But what do you have to do? You have to listen to me. Right? In other words, Hashem is always talking. Right? That's clear. Hashem talks through nature. Hashem talks through the way He treats us. Right? Hashem is always talking to us. What's our job? Is to listen. Right? Listen doesn't just mean to listen. When the word tishma is used, it's a form of understanding. Right? It's a form of comprehension. Shema Yisrael doesn't just mean, I'm going to scream very loudly. It means like, understand what I'm about to teach you. So Hashem basically says, I'm always talking to you, but are you going to be listening to me? Are you understanding what it is exactly that I am communicating to you? Hayom, I think, is a beautiful word. Because Hayom im bekolo tishma'u reminds us that our relationship with Hashem can turn on a dime. It can turn on a minute. Hayom im tishma'u. If you just listen to me, don't worry about the past. Don't be anxious about the future. All you have is your relationship with me today. Because you and I both know, and we see it play out tragically all the time, we can regret the past till we're blue in the face, but we can change it. We agree?
Agree.
We can be anxious about the future, but sometimes what happens, happens, right? And we know that one minute you could be on top of the world today, and the next day you could be feeling very different. So what Tehillim is reminding us, what Moshe Rabbeinu here is reminding us, is Hayom. Just focus on today. And if you focus on today, what we'll see, and again, as we develop into the ideas of Shabbos, is that's what's going to lead to tranquility. That's going to lead to the sense of serenity that you and I are going to need as we approach the Shabbos. So hold on to that word Hayom for a little bit. Then Hashem gets a little angry at us. Pasuchet. He says, Al takshu levavchem, don't harden your hearts. Kimiriva kiyom masa memidbar, like you did in Miriva, in Masa, in the desert. Asher nisuni avoseichem bechanuni gamra upali, as your ancestors did to me in the desert. Bechanuni gam ra'u pa'ali, says the Mitzudas David, means, even when they saw everything that I did to them in Mitzrayim, lo haminu bi, they still didn't believe in me. V'chazru ubachnu osi, and they came back, and they continued to test me. Hashem basically says, I did so much for you. 10 plagues, split the sea, I gave you the man, and what did I get out of it? What did I get out of it? Think about the end of Parshas Bishalach. Think about Baal Oscha. What do the Jewish people? They complain. They rebel against Hashem over and over again. So Hashem says, don't be like the people in the Midbar, who despite the fact that I gave them everything, they complained against me and they rejected me. Why? Pasuk Yud. Arbaim shana akut bedor. You know what the 40 years in the desert was like? Akut comes from the word kitata, which means what? Fight. What a terrible description of our relationship with Hashem in the desert. Hashem says, for 40 years I was fighting with you guys. Va'omar, and I said, Am toei lev avheim. They are a nation, they are a people of toei lev, means, in other words, like their hearts strayed. They're off the derech, basically. Veheim lo yadu drachai, and they didn't know my derech. What does it mean, my derech? Says Radak, Hashem's derech lo hikiru kol hanisim she'asisi imahem. They didn't recognize all the miracles that I was performing. Heim lo, right? Heim lo yadu derachai. They didn't know my derech. They didn't see my miracles. 40 years in the desert. Asher nishbati be'api, and as a result, what did I promise in my anger? Imivaun el menuchasi, that they wouldn't come el menuchasi. Menuchasi means Eretz Yisrael, right? Land of Israel is a nachla, it's a menucha. It's a place of peacefulness and tranquility. So Hashem says, as a result of the fact that you were stiff-necked, and as a result of the fact that you rejected me and distanced yourself from me, I, in my anger, said, you are not going to come into the land. And that's exactly what happened. Jewish people at the end of Parshas Bishalach should have gone straight into the land of Israel. We make a big mistake, and Hashem says, 40 years in the desert. Right, and as a result, that entire generation dies out, and a new generation is able to come to the land of Israel. Does someone have their hand up? No? Yeah.
Rabbi, don't the Rebbeim say that
How do you reconcile that with what you just said?
Yeah, so yes and yes, right? In other words, greatness. No, right? Great, you could be great and also make mistakes, right? And as greatness can exist in potential, and greatness can be squandered. There's no doubt that the Jewish people in the 40 years in the desert missed an opportunity. Right? Think about the generation of Ezra and Nehemiah, which we studied a few years ago. The whole thesis of the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and if you read it alongside Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, which it has to be because they're contemporaries with each other, the whole theme of that time period was squandered potential. When they came back to Eretz Yisrael at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, even before that, Zerubbabel, that should have been the Messianic era, right? Zerubbabel should have been Mashiach. The door was open for the Jewish people, and yet they blew the opportunity. Does that mean it wasn't a great generation? No, it means it was a great generation, but they missed the opportunity. I fear that when the history books are written on our generation, it will be a similar story, that the Jewish people were given a land of Israel after 2,000 years. A small percentage went back. Many decided not to. And that will be an indictment on all of us. But that's just my obnoxiousness after coming back from Israel. But I think you could be great and also miss the opportunity for further greatness. Okay, that is the chapter of Tehillim. So as I said, there are two very separate and distinct themes. One is praising Hashem, gratitude to Hashem for all the miracles that He performed for us. And the second is the very real idea that Hashem is not happy with us, that Hashem feels that despite everything He did for us, we rebelled against Him. Now, how do you reconcile these two parts? The answer, I think, if we're looking at another corner of our puzzle, lies in Pasuk Chet, the eighth Pasuk. What did the Pasuk say? Al takshu levavchem. Don't harden your heart. What does it mean to harden your heart? If we're reading poetry, how would you describe that imagery to me? A hardened heart means what?
Stubborn.
Can't
change.
Okay.
Can't change.
Can't change. Okay, so that's one.
Obstinate.
Right, in the context of this chapter of Tehillim, what does it mean to have a hardened heart? Again, what are we talking about? What did Hashem do for us? He did everything for us. He performed miracles for us, and we have a hardened heart means that it's not penetrating. It's not penetrating. We don't recognize. It's not making an impact on us. Okay? And what do we care? Like Meriva Kiyomasa Bamidbar. Masa Umeriva. That was a very specific story in the Torah. Does anyone remember what that story was? We read it 2 weeks ago. Right? We read it 2 weeks ago. So let me take you on a journey of Parshas Vishalach. Hashem takes us out of Egypt. Okay? We sing Az Yashir. Everyone's happy. Miriam gets in on the action. She's got her little tambourine and they're all going, thank you Hashem, right? Okay? And then, immediately afterwards, Vayasa Moshe Es Yisrael Miyamsuf, they go, and what happens? They need water, right? They couldn't. And what happens? Vayilonu Ha'am Al Moshe. They start complaining and they say, Manishteh, what are we going to drink? Vayitzak El Hashem. And they start crying out to Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what, you're right. Hashem says, you're right. And so he brings them water. Then they complain that they're hungry. And Hashem gives them man, which again is an enormous miracle. And what happens right after the man? What happens to the man? Vayisu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimi bar sin. They come. Ve'ein ma'im lishtosam. And again, they're thirsty. Vayarev ha'am im Moshe. The people start complaining with Moshe again. And they say, give us water. And Moshe comes to Hashem and he says, Hashem, what do you want out of my life? Right? What do you want out of my life? And what do they say to him? Lama zeheli sanu mimitzrayim. Why'd you take us out of Egypt? Right? To die here. Okay? And so Moshe comes to Hashem. He says, you got to help me. Od ma'at uskaluni. If any more and they're going to stone me, that's how upset the people are. And Hashem gives him the staff and he says, hit something and water is going to pour out. And what do we call that place? Vayikra shem hamakom masa umariva. Why? Al riv b'nei Yisrael, over the quarreling of the Jewish people, va'al nasotam el et Adonai, and the fact that they tested Hashem, lemor, how do they test Hashem? Hayesh Adonai Bikirbenu Im Ain. Is there really a God? Does God really exist? Is he really amongst us? And what happens in the very next pasuk? Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem Im Yisrael Berefidim. Amalek comes in the very next pasuk, and Rashi says, why does Amalek come right then and there? Right, why? Because Rashi says, the Jewish people said, Ayesh Hashem Bikirbenu. They had the audacity, the chutzpah to say, it's God even here. Hashem says, I'll show you. Right, I'll show you what happens when I pull myself back. And immediately, Amalek comes. They compare it to a child that's on his father's shoulder. And the father's carrying him around. And all of a sudden, the son goes over to someone and says, have you seen my father? Right, and hello, I'm here, I'm carrying you, I'm helping you. What a chutzpah to not even recognize and appreciate all of the miracles that I'm doing for you. So what you see in Parshas Beshalach is time and time again, Hashem performs a miracle for the Jewish people. And is there any appreciation whatsoever for that miracle?
No.
Well, they sing Az Yashir, and right afterwards, what do? They complain. Hashem gives them water, what do? Complain. Hashem gives them man, what do? Complain. Right, Hashem finally says, I'm done. You wonder, you question whether I'm here? Vayavo Amalek. I'll prove to you the hard way that I am here. Okay? Masa Umariva is a story of what? If you had to characterize it in a short description. It's a story of Choser Amuna, lacking of faith in God and lacking of appreciation to Hashem, which really go hand in hand. It's a lack of appreciation, a lack of awareness of all of the miracles that Hashem does. And if you're not aware of the miracles that Hashem does, then what can't you be? You can't be grateful for them. Okay? Out of all the stories in Tanakh that we could have chosen of points of rebellion against Hashem, this parak of Tehillim that you and I read this morning chooses this story, Masa Umariva, a story where Hashem gives the Jewish people everything, and the Jewish people never stop to say thank you. They never stop to appreciate the miracles that Hashem performs. And I think that holds the key to this entire chapter of Tehillim. Right? L'chu neranan al Hashem. The chapter opens up with us coming to sing praise to Hashem. And what are we singing praise to Hashem for? Well, we're singing praise to Hashem that on the one hand, He created the heavens and the earth. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the hills, right? Everything that you and I look around and say, wow, that's amazing, that's beautiful, that's magnificent. And in addition to that, not only did He create it on a macro level, but He has a unique relationship with every single one of us. He has what we call Ashkacha Pratis. He cares about every single one of us. He has a unique relationship with us as a people. And yet, what did we do time and time again, despite the fact that throughout history, Hashem showers us with miracles? If our heart is beating today and there's air in our lungs, we should be singing praise to Hashem. And time again in history, what do we say? We say, Hayesh Adonai Bikirbenu Im Ayin. Does God really exist? Now, sometimes we say it overtly, and sometimes we just feel it, or we behave in that way, even if we don't realize it. Right? We commit acts of rebellion against Hashem all the time. Again, sometimes it's overt. Sometimes it's just, we don't say it explicitly, but, right? I mean, there are plenty of people in our community that come to Shul on Shabbos morning, but I think in their heart of hearts wonder, Hayesh Adonai Bikirbenu Mayin, right? Does God really care if I'm davening? Because I'll tell you, if you really believed in a relationship with Hashem, then no one would sit in the back of Shul and talk the whole time during davening, right? Again, the fact that we do that shows that there is a deficiency in our emunah of Hashem, because we really believed that God exists and that Hashem has a relationship with us, then when I take those three steps into Shmon Esrei, my mind isn't wandering. I'm not thinking about my stocks. I'm not thinking about the ball game. I'm not thinking about my to-do list. I have an audience with the creator of the world. If I really believe that, then my Shmon Esrei would be different. Again, we're not perfect, but it would be different. And so the fact that I step foot into Shmon Esrei, and instead of thinking about Hashem, my mind wanders into all the things I have to deal with, it's because there's a little part of me that wonders, Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu Imayin, right? Is there someone really on the other end? Does it work? Because I've been davening for the same thing for 3 years and I haven't been answered yet. So there's a little bit in me that wonders, okay? That's the chapter of Tehillim. The chapter of Tehillim is a call to every single one of us to say that Hashem showers us with miracles every single day. Every single day. Our job is to stop and smell the coffee. Our job is to pause and to appreciate everything that Hashem does. This is the theme that's chosen as the doorway through which you and I enter into Shabbos. Right? This is the channel that you and I go through as we exit the chaos of the week into the tranquility of Shabbos. And the answer is very simple. You simply cannot feel menucha. You simply cannot feel serenity and peace unless you first feel a sense of gratitude to Hashem for everything. Right? It's that closeness to Hashem. It's that reminder of everything that Hashem does for us, which actually overwhelms us with a sense of peace and tranquility. Remember all the way back to when we said Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Right? The song of the day of Shabbos. What didn't it mention? Didn't mention Shabbos at all. What did it mention? It mentioned Sadik Varalo and Rasha V'Tovlo. Why do bad things happen to good people and etc. Right? And we said, what a strange way to go into Shabbos. And we said, you can't go into Shabbos if you have inner turmoil. If you have kashas against Hashem. You can't feel peace and serenity. This Perek Tehillim is the exact same. You can't go into Shabbos unless you first pause to appreciate the beauty of the world around you. To first pause and appreciate the myriad of blessings that Hashem bestows upon us on a consistent basis. So on the one hand, you can't find menucha without gratitude. You can't find that peace and serenity without first appreciating everything that Hashem does. And the flip side is also true, which is that you can't appreciate what Hashem does without menucha, without peace and tranquility. It's a double-edged sword. Because we know during the week, it's very hard. You're running, you have, right, carpool. I don't have carpool. My wife has carpool, and you got work, and you got the laundry, and you got the dishes, and you got the appointments and the shopping, right? So it's very hard to stop and to smell the roses. Shabbos is the day when we stop. And we look at the world around us. And we say, hey, this is pretty amazing that Hashem created a universe whose sole purpose was for our benefit, for us to enjoy the wind and the trees and the flowers and the beauty. And that Hashem has a... I can only appreciate that on Shabbos, but I can only feel the serenity of Shabbos by first having a sense of appreciation. So it's a double-edged sword. It's the chicken and egg. Which one comes first? But the answer is that you need both. Yeah.
Based on what you're saying, I would have put Pasuk Bet before Pasuk
Aleph. Ah, right. You would have said Nikadma Pana Visoda. First, we come with the gratitude, and then Lechun Naran Al Hashem. I'm not sure, but it's a good. But that's why I said, if you remember, I think the word Nikadma Pana Visoda is really the key here. What are we approaching Hashem with? With gratitude, with a sense of appreciation. No, so I hear you. I want to share with you. Someone sent me this in the mail. It's a former congregant friend of mine from my old community in Hollisville, New York, and apparently it's a new shtick, and I saw it and I really liked it a lot. So I want to share it with you, and I think it very much portrays what you and I are talking about here. This is a pushka. You and I know pushkas. What do we normally put in pushkas? Money, tzedakah. This is a different pushka. This is a thank you Hashem pushka. It's a gratitude pushka. Okay, it's called the Grateful Pushka. And it comes with little notes, right? The Grateful Pushka. And it says the following, right? Just had a grateful moment, ? Thank Hashem by writing it down, right? Thank you, Hashem, for the fact that I woke up in the morning. Thank you, Hashem, for the fact that my coffee is delicious. Thank you that there was creamer in the refrigerator, right? Whatever it is. Then you crumble it up, and you put it in the pushka. These are the instructions on the tzedakah box, on the pushka, right? Put it in, okay? Make it part of your family's daily routine. So as kids are thankful for things, as grandchildren, as you are thankful, you write it down, you put it in the pushka. Hold on, right? Watch your grateful moments pile up, and those fill your pushka box with grateful moments. And then, what's the last piece of advice? I saw this, I said, this is our chapter of Tehillim. Reflect back on these moments on Shabbos and for years to come. Wouldn't it be beautiful if the whole week you fill up this pushka with grateful moments, with moments where you felt Hashem in your life, where you were appreciative to Hashem, right? And then on Shabbos, you sat down at your Friday night table, okay? You opened up your pushka, you poured out 10, 15, 7 notes, 100 notes, whatever it is, and you said, you know what, that's amazing. This week, Hashem did this for me. And this week, Hashem did that for me. And you spent your Friday night meal going through all of the many brachos that, by the way, in all likelihood, by Shabbos we forget because our mind races to the next thing. But on Shabbos, we reflect upon all those miracles that Hashem performs on our behalf. Wouldn't that transform our Friday night table? Wouldn't that transform our Shabbos? And that's why I think the pasuk that's used, the word that's used, is so amazing. Hashem said, Hayom im bikolo tishmau. Today, right? In other words, use the day. And what day are we talking about here? Shabbos, right? Use the day of Shabbos for tishma bikolo tishmau, to listen to my voice. If you spent your Friday night dinner looking at all the ways that Hashem showered you with Siyata Deshmaya, with miracles, with kindness, then Hayom, then your Shabbos would be a day of Bikolo Tishmo. It would be a day when you listen to the voice of Hashem, you'd see the hand of Hashem in your life, and that would give you more than anything else that sense of peace and tranquility and enjoyment and the ability to benefit from the world around you. So I literally got this in the mail this week, and I jumped at it. I said, what an amazing idea. If you guys are interested, it's www.gratefulpushka.com. Why? Sign of gratitude, right? That's what so many of these mirrors are. It's singing praise to Hashem, exactly, right? So Grateful Pushka, Pushka's PUSHKAH.com, or it's gratefulpushka@gmail.com. And again, I think it's such a beautiful idea. I think it's such a magnificent idea, and I think it's such a beautiful way to transform your Shabbos table. Yeah, sorry, it's Grateful Pushka. Pushka's PUSHKAH. And it's either gratefulpushka.com or gratefulpushka@gmail.com. Okay? And I'll just mention that this one that was sent to me was for Zchus of Refuah Shleima for Esther Bas Rachel. And again, I look forward to using this. And it comes with a notepad. You don't even have to write in the notepad. It has a magnet on the back. So you can put it on your fridge. And as things happen, you write it down, you drop it in the pushka, and Friday night, you spend your Friday night. That is how I believe Chazal wanted us to enter into Shabbos. Chazal wanted us to enter into Shabbos with an awareness of the miracles and the blessings that Hashem showers upon us. That Kabbalah Shabbos is supposed to provide us with Kabbalah Shabbos is supposed to provide us with that opportunity for introspection. Anyone who's ever been to a magnificent Kabbalah Shabbos knows that it's transformative. It puts you in a different mindset. It's like it opens up. You know when you're very congested and then you like put a spray in and all of a sudden it's like the world changes? That's what Kabbalah Shabbos is supposed to do for our neshama. It's supposed to waken us up. It's supposed to open up our eyes. It's supposed to make us appreciate everything that happens around us. I think this Perek Tehillim, coupled with the Grateful Pushka, is some beautiful ways that we can transform our Shabbos from a day of being not missing out on the brachos from Hashem, but specifically being grateful for the myriad of brachos that you and I have in our lives. Everyone have a great week.